What the heck happened? All right. I don't know what just happened, but Tuesday night, and we are live. Good to see everybody. God bless you. All right, let's hop right to this. Well, let me say it to everybody in the chat real quick. Alpha Acres is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Confederate 1 is on. Why Not Me's on. Peg Joe is on. Hassle-Free TV is on. Let me see. DC941 is on. Swifty Shooter 96 is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Horror Hotel is on. Confederate 1 is on. Lizzie859 is on. Kept Guy is on. Malamute Lover is on. C-Suff is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. D9597 is on. The one and only Nude Monk is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Mike Griffith is on. Dave Souders is on. Sexy Pony is on. Aphrodite is on. Todd Suff is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Salty Gonads is on. Alpha Acres is on. RN4 Small One is on. Abseek Truth is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Leon Fish Puppy says, love the shirt. Here it is, just in case everyone can't see it.
Daddy's
there
Home.
There you go. There you go. Daddy Home. Daddy's Home 3. Remember the two Daddy's Home movies. But anyway, Stefan Toms is on. Wendell Lovett is on. Judy Anita is on. Aaron Yeager's on. Drummond for Jesus is on. Hansel Donovan is on. R Major 71 is on. Let's see here. U.S. Abbey Girl is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Mama V is on. Sheila K is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Patriotic Standard 1776 is on. Nate Dad 1 is on. Spoken 007 is on. Dev Plan's on. Lisa Sabo is on. UNCB Ball is on. Arch Major 79's Uncle Wally is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and one. I can't keep up with it. How many people are on here? But anyway, love you. Appreciate you. Let's hop right to this. Let's go to it. Let's do this before we do anything here. Aaron, if you go to Decision Desk for me,
yep.
Let's figure out where exactly we are, because the title of the show is not going to talk too much about the election tonight, but here we are, day 7. And we still, again, explain it to me how all these votes can't be counted. I mean, in the state of Pennsylvania, we don't know who the senator is going to be. To this, in Alaska, we don't know who congressmen are going to be. Arizona, we don't know who the senator is going to be. The AP has called one, and Decision Desk doesn't call one, and then Decision Desk calls one, the AP hasn't called one. You have the former senator, Bob Casey, in Pennsylvania. He's still saying the votes are coming in and being counted. Today, he put out a video today. Explain to me. Remember, folks, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, yesterday, Monday, and all day today. How do we not? Explain to me how these votes can't be counted. If there's no malfeasance going on, if there's nothing nefarious going on, then explain to me how a civilized first world country cannot count ballots inside of a week. The beacon of democracy around the globe, a constitutional republic, around the globe. France, even France, who could not punch their way out of a wet paper sack. Every they lose every war. We have to go defend them every single time. They have their votes counted on election night. 23 million people in the state of Florida. We knew who won the elections by 8:20. The polls closed at 7. An hour and 20 minutes later, we knew, and Arizona doesn't know 7 days later. It didn't take Florida 7 hours. It didn't take Florida 2 hours. 1 hour and 20 minutes, we knew. Texas, basically the same. The second largest state. The third largest state, Florida, we knew inside of an hour and a half. And still all the votes haven't been counted in Alaska, I believe, California, Arizona, Pennsylvania, and other states also. How is that even remotely possible? I mean, if anything, if you're a leftist and you're going, you know, we need to make sure every vote counts, you should be ashamed that your country and or your state cannot count ballots inside of 7 days, especially compared to much larger states that are 2 to 3 times your size. And they have all their votes counted inside of an hour and a half to 2 hours are done. I mean, you should be absolutely ashamed of yourself. Who's ever in charge, this great Arizona, people from Arizona, but I'm just saying, who's ever in charge of the Arizona elections? I mean, I know they're not embarrassed because they're globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist. I know that's who they are. And I know it's on purpose, but you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Even if it was on purpose, you ought to be ashamed to the standard of, I need to hide it. You know, even though you're doing it on purpose, you should be ashamed of it. Even though you're doing it on purpose. But they're not. Amazing. So here we are sitting here. What do we got, Aaron? What's the latest?
All right. So it looks like AP finally called Arizona. So now
AP has called it, but Decision Desk hasn't.
So no, Decision Desk has, but Decision Desk has not called Pennsylvania yet.
Okay, so they both called Arizona
They
now?
Have both now called.
So Gallego's the senator.
Yep.
That's
exactly.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Yeah,
so I told you, Carrie Lake, you should not have come out weak on abortion. But anyway.
Yeah.
So there you go. Now, again, they just called it today.
Yeah.
So how many votes were added to that tally prior to them calling it?
Yeah.
When you have 7 days to manufacture ballots, which was the problem right before this. You can just leave yourself on here. Yep. So right before this, we're talking about the court hearing, 218,000 phantom ballots that were put out, generated via the DMV to people who did not have any proof of United States citizenship. So whenever, Gallego's down. We need to pull 50,000 votes out of our database of 218,000 phantom votes. That's how we are, quote unquote, losing elections. You're like, well, we win some, we lose some. Yeah, I'm just telling you, whatever ones they feel like they can strategically win, that they can tactically win, that they can hide the very fact they cheated to win, those are the ones that they're stealing. All of us now, we're on Trump euphoria. Trump won. We won the Senate. We won the House. Well, they're going to steal as many as they can. They know that we know that we won the House and the Senate. So now they're going to try to steal as many of those elections as they possibly can, so the deficits aren't as bad in either the House or the Senate. Go, Aaron.
Yeah, I just want to congratulate Ruben Gallego, for getting more votes than Kamala Harris.
Yeah, more votes. I've never amazing, heard of isn't that it? Before. We posted that last night. Yeah. Amazing. That's never happened before. But anyway, yeah, he's done that.
Yeah, so the AP has still got, they're way behind. They think that GOP only has 214. Decision Desk for for the House is 219 to 210.
Right.
So we've still got.
Which House seats haven't been decided yet?
So right now we've got Alaska. And a couple in California look like they still have not been called.
And we won some seats. We won some seats in those states. We won some seats in Vermont, even.
Yep.
So here's the thing. So here we are, 7 days in. We don't know who's won. I mean, we don't know the totals. How's that? I mean, again, and I know this is redundant, and I apologize, 998 people that are watching right now that I can see, not counting the people watching on the Christian Television Network. But I'm just saying, I just want a reasonable explanation. Maybe you're a leftard and you're watching right now. Go to Rumble. Or maybe you're leftard, you watch it on YouTube. You can talk to Aaron. Explain to me how it is. I just want to know, tactically speaking, as far as arithmetic is concerned, statistically, whatever, numerically, explain to me how it is that we can't count ballots inside of 7 days. I mean, how is it, Aaron, how many people, find out how many people live in Alaska, find the population of Alaska. And again, just so everybody knows, McCormick Casey has yet to be called by the state of Pennsylvania. We don't know who the senator is. We know Fetterman, but we don't know the other one yet. We have no idea yet. What do we got?
733,000.
733,000 people live in Alaska. By the way, they all voted last Tuesday. And they don't know? What are you counting? What are you waiting? I want to explain it to me, leftists. What are you waiting to be counted? What needs to come in that you haven't counted yet? I mean, what is it exactly? Because it all has to be time-stamped the day of the election or it's an illegal ballot. I know that's what they don't want that to be the law, but that is the law. What are you waiting to come in? What ship needs to come in? I don't understand it. It makes absolutely no sense, except if there's mass ballot corruption, which there is. And we're going to go into that in a minute. All right, just some little stories here before we go. Oh, let me do the nomination. So this is what we know so far. Now, listen, I'm going to put this out to the chat. But here's the thing, you have to have a source and it needs to be confirmed. Because people are putting out this person. I mean, yesterday, Kash Patel's CIA director, okay, he's not. And Kash Patel has not been named the CIA director. It's between Kash Patel and Rick Grenell, allegedly, but nobody knows. The only way, and I agree with this statement, the only way to know who Trump is actually officially nominated is via his own Truth Social posts. So that's how you find out, all right? So now we know, though, here's the ones that are official. As of 7 o'clock tonight and even up to right when we started the podcast, DHS Secretary will be Kristi Noem, kind of an upgrade from Alejandro Mayorkas, would you agree? in every conceivable way. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee, great choice. White House Counsel, Joseph McKinley, know the name, not overly familiar. CIA Director John Ratcliffe, good choice. Envoy to the Middle East, Stephen Witkoff, don't know him. NSA Director Mike Waltz, great congressman, don't really know him, but definitely has been a MAGA warrior. EPA Director Lee Zeldin, Ambassador to the UN, Elise Stefanik, Border Czar, Tom Holman, And then we have kind of an extra governmental agency called DOGE. What's that, Aaron?
Department of Government Efficiency.
Yep. Which will be run by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. And Elon has already said that, you know, I can eliminate $1 trillion right now. Right now, out of the budget, just using AI. He says, using AI, I can eliminate, not $1 trillion off of our debt, off of our current budget. Remember the gloriousness and the wisdom of the Joe Biden presidency, which, by the way, when he took office, we were 13. We were about $19 trillion in debt. No, it's 23. There we go. It's popping, finally popping. We were $23 trillion in debt when he took office. Now we're just under $36 trillion in debt in only 4 years, by the way. Quite the accomplishment. Elon Musk is not saying he's going to take $1 trillion off of that. The brilliantness of Joe Biden is that his budget for this year, 2024, was $6.8 trillion, and we brought in less than $5 trillion in taxes. So we went almost another $2 trillion in debt in 2024 alone. Elon Musk is saying, off of that budget, I can pull $1 trillion off of the budget. And he's not even saying the 6.8. He's saying what we need to spend, what we actually need to spend, which we certainly don't need, $6.8 trillion, where it's just one giant allotment going to Biden friends, Biden relatives, globalists, solar panel companies, electric car companies, and all these other things masquerading as the Inflation Reduction Act and all that garbage. So those are the official nominees that we know about so far. If you know any more, now you have to put it down. Now, if you LA 106 Times, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, is that a suggestion or is that what you know? Rubio has not been confirmed yet, just so you know. Supposedly there's Rubio is not. It's not. That's still rumored out there. Secretary of Defense has not been put out yet, to my knowledge. So if you
that's new. Pete Hegseth is going to be Secretary
of
Defense.
There you go. Where'd you get it from?
From his Truth Social.
There you go. Good Trump. Job. Yep. We'll put that out there. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
L.A.
Where you at? L.A. 106X. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Everybody do the same thing. If you hear another one, let me know. Trump only sleeps 4 hours a night, allegedly 3 to 4 hours a night. So he's up all night doing this stuff. So right before the election, he didn't sleep for 72 hours straight. That's the truth. That came from Joe Rogan. 72 hours straight, he didn't sleep at all. So he's going to be doing this stuff all night long. So great. Daddy's home. It's great to have him back in the presidency. Somebody who actually works for a living doing it instead of calling lids at 11:30 in the morning after he got up at 10 o'clock in the morning. Joe Biden calls a lid at 11:30 in the morning. So great job there, LA 106 Times. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to this. I love these. Let's start off with some little stories here. Mario Nafal tweet. Melania rejects White House meeting with Joe Biden. That's exactly how you treat him. You don't need to be screaming at anybody. You don't need to be antithetical to the Bible with anybody. You don't have to be cussing at anybody. You don't do any of those things. Just simply act like they don't exist. Shake the dust off of your feet, Matthew chapter 10. Just shake the dust right off your feet. And that's what Melania is doing. Melania reportedly turned down a traditional White House tea meeting, citing the 2022 Mar-a-Lago raid under Biden's administration. That's what you do. You don't sit down with people. It's the amazing thing. When Joe Biden walked onto the debate stage with Donald Trump, he looked over him, gave him that little sheepish political smile, like, hey, buddy, good to see you. This is a guy trying to put her husband in prison for the rest of his life, and you're going to meet his wife for tea? No. I mean, again, you don't go up and mother F the girl, Dr. Jill. You don't do it. You just simply refuse to have anything to do with a monster. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Matthew 7:6, just Jesus speaking there. You don't do that. This person is trying to put your husband away for the rest of his life. This person raided your homes. Oh, no. No, this is you have the Biden administration and the DOJ. They act separately. That's never happened in the history of the country. It's not going to happen with Trump. The DOJ is not separate from the administrative branch. You know why it's not separate from the administrative branch? Aaron, you know why? Because the DOJ is part of the administrative branch. Duh. That's exactly, so is the FBI, so is the ATF. They're all part of the administrative branch. So they don't, and by the way, the rumors were put out into Axios where the Biden administration was not happy with the DOJ for slow walking Trump charges, Merrick Garland, Lisa Monaco, for not getting right to it and getting that Mar-a-Lago raided as quickly as possible. So there, and of course you had Fannie Willis's lover, Nathan Wade, meeting with White House attorneys for 16 hours because he billed Fannie Willis $250 an hour to do so. So don't tell me DOJ is separate from the White House. DOJ is separate from the administration. Those are all, of course, categoric, bold-faced lies like they always are. So you don't sit down with a woman who's trying to put your husband in prison for the rest of his life. A source close to Melania pointed to FBI agents searching through her personal items, those little perverts, during the classified documents probe, an investigation that was later dismissed by Judge Eileen Cannon in July. The snub breaks from precedent as Melania previously participated in the custom with Michelle Obama in 2016. Michelle Obama didn't try to put her husband away for the rest of his life. So, you know, you do. And this is how it always needs to work. You don't walk out and shake hands with Joe Biden on the debate stage. This is a man who has called you Hitler and is trying to put you away for the rest of your life, called you a threat to the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, the quote-unquote threat to democracy. You don't go shake his hand. I'm not shaking his hand. I said this on Sunday from the pulpit, not this Sunday, but the Sunday a couple Sundays ago. I don't hug everybody. Well, Tom, you're a pastor of a church. I don't care. I'm not hugging everybody. I'm not hugging people that have betrayed me. I'm not hugging people who have gossiped about me. I'm not hugging people that have basically fraudulently gotten money out of the church. I'm not hugging your neck. You know, basically, screw you. I'm not going anywhere near you. I'm not going to attack you. I'm not going to punch you. I'm not going to say nasty things about you. I'm just simply going to turn my back to you, just like Hezekiah turned his back on the prophet and faced the wall. I'm not listening to you. You have nothing to do with you. Simple as that. All right, Senator John Thune, there's the latest. We have to have the Senate. John Thune cannot be majority leader. John Cornyn cannot be majority leader. If it is, it is going to hamstring the Trump administration for the next 4 years, or at least the next 2 years, whenever they decide on another majority leader. We cannot have it. You cannot have the fox guarding the henhouse. You cannot have Adolf Hitler in charge of the Jewish Community Center. You cannot have a Democrat. It's just like these trials. Trump's convicted felon. Okay, I'm speaking to you Democrats right now, and there's probably none watching, but I'm just saying if there was one or two watching, would you consider your candidate to be a convicted felon if he was accused of the felonies by only Republicans, tried only by Republicans, and convicted only by Republicans? Would you consider your candidate then to be a convicted felon? Absolutely not. Right? We cannot have this anymore. None of this. We cannot have people who are against us in charge of us. We cannot have people who are against us holding us accountable. We don't want you. Well, you should have a diverse staff. Again, forget that garbage. You don't need a diverse staff. I'm not talking about race. I'm not talking about sexual orientation. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm saying people who hate you are part of the staff. No. We cannot have, when we own the Senate, by the way, that's a fact, just so everybody knows. I'm not holding back at all. I never do, but I'm just saying, we own the Senate. It's ours. We don't want John Thune. John Thune is a member of the Democratic Party, whether he acknowledges it or not. That is who he is. How are you? How, like, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger say that they're Republicans, but they just voted for a woman who wants to butcher the unborn before, during, after the child is conceived and born. No, thank you. They just voted for somebody who wants to lop off penises, testicles, and breasts of 13-year-old boys and girls. They just voted for that. They just voted for an open border. They just voted for socialism. They just voted for banning speech. How exactly are you Republican? John Cornyn, according to what Aaron found out last night, and it's been sent to me since then, he gets a 51% liberty rating. In other words, he votes 49% of the time with Kamala Harris, and he's going to run our Senate? No, he can run their Senate. He's not running out. If he wants to be the minority leader for the Democrats, that's fine, because that's who he actually qualifies for. That's what he qualifies for. He doesn't qualify to be a leader in our Senate. Look at this guy. Donald Trump should withdraw and Mike Pence should be our nominee effective immediately. 10-8, 16. That's who he thinks. That's what he thinks. And then when he was asked after the 2020 stolen election, would you support Donald Trump if he was your nominee? He goes, I want there to be other options. And now that's like 2022, you know, 2021, whatever. This is who this guy is. He hates Donald Trump, always has, always will. He's going to throw out platitudes right now. He's already stated Donald Trump needs to stay out of this process. How dare he? How dare he say that? If John Thune was at, he didn't have to run this time. He runs in 2 years. If he had to run this time, he would have needed Donald Trump's endorsement to win. Because we would have primaried his sorry, globalist, leftist, rhino butt out of political existence. All right, go to the next one for me, Heather. Senator John Cornyn. Here's our other, we have three possibilities. We have John Cornyn, John Thune, and Rick Scott. That's who we have. Rick Scott. Rick Scott's liberty rating, 86%, B plus. 86%. Not perfect, 14% stupid, but 86% smart. John Cornyn's liberty rating's 54%, another F. Another F. F minus. F minus for John Cornyn. So again, 46% of the time he votes with Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders. It's a fact. That's a fact. And he's Mr. Ukraine War. Mr. Ukraine War. Gotta go. So's John Thune. Gotta send more money. Gotta send more bullets. Gotta send more rockets. Gotta send more assets. Gotta send more billions and billions and tens of billions. We're up to $200 billion already to Ukraine. For what? It's up to 600,000 now. Ukrainians have died in this war. For what? For what? And this war is only happening because the breakout promises, Donetsk and Luhansk asked for it inside of Ukraine, just like Crimea did. I'm disgusted by Mr. Trump's words about women. He says, our daughters, our sisters, than our mothers. He is the absolute embodiment, both of these guys, of cuck boy, moron, coward, spineless worms who just go with the flow. Whatever it takes for me to be reelected, go with the flow. I'll say anything. I'll do anything. I'll whore myself. I'll prostitute myself. I'll say anything to stay in office. That's who these guys are. All right, let's go to the next part here. All right, let's look at this Donald Trump, some Donald Trump stuff here. Kyle Becker video. The CIA is terrified that I want Cash Patel for CIA director. I wanted Michael Flynn for NSA, but that's gone to somebody else. That's gone to Mike Waltz. So Mike Flynn and Rick Grinnell needs to be part of this too, but I want Mike Davis. I want Mike Davis to at least be acting AG. He may never get confirmed, so let him be acting AG for 4 years. Don't even worry about confirmations. Screw them. Just put them in as acting. That's all you got to do. Put them in as acting AG. That's all, interim AG. That's all you got to do. There's nothing they can do about it. Not one thing. You don't ever need a confirmation. But anyway, here's Kyle Becker video. We're talking about Trump administration now, incoming Trump administration, Trump 47. The CIA is terrified that Cash Patel will become its next director. He actually wants to institute a declassification office. Play for me, Heather.
You need a 24/7 declassification office, whatever you want to call it. Transparency, truth, whatever, I don't care. Sits in the White House, reports directly to you, and you take incoming from the United States of America. I want JFK. I want the 9/11 files. I want this. I want that. All the FBI, and this is a tool, this is something we didn't cover. What the deep state uses the most to cover up their corruption is an illegal application of the classification system. Remember the Lovebirds text from, this is a beauty, the Lovebirds text from FBI, DOJ land, Russiagate, Strzok and Page were texting each other. They were running the Russiagate investigation against Trump. They were the head of the counterintelligence unit at the FBI, and they're having an extramarital affair together. Can't make this stuff up. They're sending each other texts about how much they hate Trump and are going to create an insurance policy to stop Trump. Then we finally find those text messages. You know what the FBI and DOJ do for like a year? Redact them to congressional investigators and congressional men and women running the oversight of their agency. That's just one example. But it gets even better. Here's the deep state full circle. Just last week, do you know what Strzok and Page received from the Department of Justice?
What?
A $1.5 million payout to settle a lawsuit that Strzok and Page brought for the improper disclosure of their personal text messages on FBI phones. And the DOJ just rewarded them. They broke the law. They broke the chain of command. They broke every regulation there is in the FBI. They weaponized the system of justice against a political target they hated. We found those text messages. And we got them declassified finally in full when I became Deputy Director of National Intelligence. And the world has now seen them and they can read them. And that's the best form of transparency. That's why I want this 24/7 declassification office. Don't have me regurgitate it to you. Read it. Get the documents, get the files, get the memos. But the deep state came full circle and gave these guys a payday for rigging a presidential election and breaking the law. So now you know what happens. That's step one. Step two, get America the truth. And that's what that office would be for.
And again, the Bible verse you hear all the time on this podcast, you hear all the time in our church, for everyone practicing evil hates light does not come to light lest their deeds be exposed. The greatest weapon of the deep state being the deep state establishment government, which is neither Republican or Democrat, but pure leftist. They all vote Democrat, but they're not traditional liberals. They're progressive leftist Hitlerians. That's who's running. 92.5% of Washington, D.C. voted for Kamala Harris. 92.5%. That's not even, they're like, well, at least we got 7.5. No, there's another couple candidates on there. We didn't even get 7% of the vote in the District of Columbia that rules this nation. It shouldn't, but it does currently rule this nation. And their greatest weapon is the misuse of classifying, of classification, of saying something is classified or top secret or redactions or ongoing investigations. That is the way they say, well, it's an ongoing investigation. We don't want to reveal any of our assets. We don't want to reveal any of our forms. No, you don't want to reveal your malfeasance. You don't want to reveal your own criminality. It's like what they always say all the time. Well, we're doing this for the interest of the United States. You're not doing it for the interest of the United States. You're doing it to protect your own corporate interest, your own corporate investment interest. That's all they're doing. I'm talking about almost everybody in Washington, D.C. It's got nothing to do with our interest or our national security. It has to do with securing their own corporate interests and their own lobbyist interest that they get paid from. They protect the people who pay them. That's all they do. They're not protecting us. The border's wide open. To this day, it's wide open. 15,000 people a day are flowing through the border right now, unless they've stopped because Trump got elected. It's just so funny here, and I love this idea from Kash Patel. That's why they don't want Kash Patel to be CIA director, because he's going to open up a declassification office that runs 24/7. You want the JFK files? You got them. Why don't we have them? JFK was assassinated in 1963. It's 2024, and we can't know what actually happened? Everybody who was involved in it in the CIA is dead. How can we not know what's going on? By the way, we should have known about it 1 year after it happened. So we need to know. Why is it that we can't know? That's exactly what Cash is saying. There's no reason for us not to know any of these things. We want the Epstein flight logs. We want the Epstein logs from the island. We want the Epstein list. We want it all. Why can't we have it? Explain to me why Dick Durbin won't release the Epstein flight log. Why? Explain to me. Any leftist who's watching it, send it in on the chat. Give me your explanation. I'm watching right now. Tell me the virtue behind not releasing the Epstein flight log. Why? He's dead. Not an ongoing investigation. Nobody else. Nobody else is being arrested. Only Ghislaine Maxwell is in prison. Nobody else is being investigated. Nobody else is being arrested. Why can't we see the flight log? I mean, right? What's the virtue? Tell me why Dick Durbin won't do it unless he's protecting his own interests. But what he'll say is he's protecting national interests. Why they redacted all of Anthony Fauci's emails. We're protecting, national security interests. How? How are you protecting national security interests by redacting Anthony Fauci's emails? Explain to me. He's not an NSA agent. Explain to me how it is you're protecting national security interests by redacting Anthony Fauci's emails, which are still redacted to this day. I love the thing about Strzok and Page. You have Strzok and Page's, Peter Strzok and the attorney, all, you know, Strzok and Page were leading the investigation into Russian collusion with Donald Trump, right? Leading the investigation. Page being attorney, Strzok being special agent in the FBI. They're sending, and they're in the middle of an extramarital affair, and they're sending each other text messages on their FBI phones, talking about putting together an insurance policy so Donald Trump doesn't get elected, talking about both of them putting out vitriol, actually vitriolic hate of Donald Trump. I hate Donald Trump. No, I hate him more. No, I hate him more. That's what they're doing back and forth on their phones. And then she asked Peter Strzok, what are we going to do if he gets elected? And Peter Strzok, the FBI agent investigating Donald Trump, I thought they're all supposed to be unbiased. They're supposed to be unbiased. The FBI agent investigating Donald Trump says, no, we won't let him be elected. And all of those text messages were kept classified for 2 years. Why? Explain to me why. Why would they be kept classified? Why would they be redacted for 2 years until finally Kash Patel unredacted them, unclassified them, declassified them? And then not only that, But they Peter Strzok, I don't know if it's more than one payoff that he's gotten so far, Strzok and Page. I don't know if they've gotten more than one payoff because he got a wrongful termination payoff too. He got a wrongful termination settlement from the FBI. And according to Cash Patel, he also got $1.5 million payout for the FBI improperly disclosing his personal messages on his FBI phone. How do you have personal messages on your FBI phone? You can't have personal messages. That means if you put them on the FBI phone, they're no longer personal. So there's no way that you can sue them for improperly disclosing personal messages on a non-personal phone. But guess what, Aaron? Guess what now? You and I paid for it.
Yeah.
$1.5 million to Peter Strzok.
Oh, good.
Not to mention his wrongful termination lawsuit that he also won, which I believe was two-something million. I don't know that for sure, but if I remember correctly, that's what it is. All right, let's go to the next one. Benny Johnson video. Speaking of things that no longer need to exist on the planet, Benny Johnson video, Julie Kelly calls for President Trump to sign an executive order shutting down the D.C. federal court system. A lot of people would shudder with that. It's just like when you say certain things when you're preaching from the pulpit that Christians aren't used to hearing. You know, you actually say, you know, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:20. Christian, because you're not allowed to talk about hell anymore in church. Now, you come to this church, you're going to hear about hell all the time, hell on earth, hell to come. You'll hear it. And you'll also hear about the promises of God. But anyway, I digress. But people would hear that, shut down the D.C. court system, shut down the D.C. attorney's office and the Washington FBI. Does everybody realize that it's a District of Columbia and has no right to a court system? Does everybody know that? Has no right to a U.S. attorney's office? You know where U.S. attorney's offices go? In states. Has no right to an FBI field office because they're not a state. There's no reason for there to be a court system inside of D.C. except for one reason: to haul Republicans in front of it because it's a blue judge, blue jury, blue grand jury, and blue appellate court all inside of D.C. That's why when they try Navarro, when they try Bannon, they could try them in their home states because they're refusing to comply. With the 1-6 committee, with subpoenas from the 1-6 committee, the 1-6 committee who can't lawfully issue subpoenas, Navarro and Bannon said, we're not going to comply with these subpoenas because we are actually not allowed to disclose because of executive privilege what Donald Trump told us, which was just backed up by SCOTUS ruling. But again, I digress. But they make sure, and Rudy Giuliani too, Shea Moss, Ruby Freeman, where did they live? Atlanta. Why is it that their civil hearing was up in D.C., where Rudy Giuliani was forced to pay them $48 million, a man who's worth $10 million. Why? Explain that to me. That needs to be appealed, by the way. They need to appeal, and just bankrupt Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman, who are demonic little hacks, is what they are. Little lying sacks of feces. That's who these people are discussing right now. All right, so Julie Kelly calls for President Trump to sign this executive order. Play it for me.
I certainly am no constitutional scholar. I just simply have conversations. I run a talk show here where I talk with smart people, okay? And maybe some of it will rub off. But it doesn't make any sense to me why there would be federal judges inside of a place that isn't even real. Washington, D.C. isn't a state. It's not real. Its members can't vote. The people they send to Congress don't even vote, right? Eleanor Holmes Norton. Why are we giving full jurisdiction and the capacity to assault and destroy these Americans' lives? Why does the federal court, why does that system even exist in Washington, D.C.? Why mustn't it be something that is outside in a actual real state, even if it is Maryland or Virginia? It seems insane to me, actually. D.C. used to be run by Congress. We used to have the Speaker of the House was like the mayor of D.C., effectively. It was just seen as a federal city, and it wasn't a real place. It was never designed to be a real place, actually.
Right. I mean, I would implore Donald Trump to sign an executive order shutting down the D.C. federal court system, shutting down the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, and shutting down the Washington FBI field office. This is the axis of evil.
Enough.
This
yes.
is the rot in our political system. They all work together, Benny. I've seen it. Half of the judges on the D.C. bench came out of the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office. These are their colleagues. These are their buddies. These are the people whose kids go to private schools together. It's not a joke when, you know, we make fun of the cocktail parties in Georgetown. It is a cabal. They all are from the same area. They went to the same schools. No one is going to step out of line. And I'll tell you what, some of the worst judges were appointed by Donald Trump. Now, I talked to him about this 2 years ago. And of course, he's taking recommendations like you do from people who, you know, the Federalist Society and others. One of the worst judges in Washington, Tim Kelly, whose wife works for the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser. He was a D.C. A prosecutor in the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office. I watched in his courtroom how he systematically denied the rights of the J6 defendants before him, including the Proud Boys, refusing to allow evidence to be entered into the court, including FBI informants. He fought harder than the prosecutors did to make sure that these J6 defendants had the book thrown at them, seditious conspiracy convictions, 22 years in prison for Enrique Terrio, who was in Baltimore on January 6th. I mean, we could go through it, but those are the high profile cases. I've also seen the lower defendants charged with misdemeanors. I was in Washington courtroom last week where the DOJ went back and wanted to put a 6-year-old woman, a widow, just lost her husband of 40 years to liver cancer. She spent 3.5 months in a dirty, crime-ridden federal prison in Philadelphia on 4 misdemeanors and the obstruction conviction that was overturned by the Supreme Court. The DOJ wanted to put her back in prison. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. So I'm sorry for the rant, but again, thank you so much for covering this, but we need to get this to the right people. They need to understand what really happened here. Because until you have a full understanding and grasp of the inhumanity, the sadistic treatment of these J6ers by judges and prosecutors, there won't be an appetite for the sort of retribution and consequences that we need.
You're right. I mean, once you have proven that a system can be corrupted such as this to destroy our fellow Americans, it must be razed to the ground. Much like every other, this has happened before in American history, where there are institutions that are antithetical to the Constitution, to the rights of Americans, and we do away with them. We dispatch them. And it's a wonderful trait, actually, in this country that we have the power to do that.
Now, I really got to watch it here because I'll waste the rest of the show talking about this. A real passion of mine is blue jurisdictions, blue judges, blue juries, because that's what they make sure they haul all of us in front of, because you have absolutely no hope. And people are always thinking the truth will set me free. No, it won't set you free except for biblically with God. Now, we got John 8:32. I understand that, but I'm saying the truth will not set you free when there's nobody to allow you to enter it. Or nobody that will simply accept it. And again, the example that I always use is if you are on trial for stealing a bike and you have video evidence of another person stealing that bike and video evidence that you were in the Bahamas at the time that the bike was stolen in downtown Omaha, you have all the evidence. You're like, well, then for sure, the truth will set you free. How? How would it set you free when the judge won't allow it to be entered or just simply won't acknowledge it? I mean, again, you look at Rudy Giuliani's case with Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman, mother and daughter, suing him for defamation because he said that they entered the same ballots into the same machines over and over again. We have the video. If I tasked Aaron with showing it, don't do it, Aaron. Don't do it. If I tasked Aaron with showing it, it'll be up in 30 seconds. We have the video. They did exactly that. That was not allowed into evidence. That exculpatory evidence was not allowed in a trial. How? The reason they said that they were defamed is that Rudy Giuliani lied about them and said that they fed the same ballots into the same machine over and over again. The video shows them doing it, and he was still found guilty of defamation because they wouldn't allow the video in. Blue judge, blue jury, blue jurisdiction, blue grand jury, blue prosecutor. You have no chance at all. And you can say, even though all the 34 felony convictions for Donald Trump, he doesn't meet one element of any of the crimes. I was a cop for 25 years, right here where I'm sitting, Sarasota County, Florida, 1992, 2017. Every crime has elements that have to be met in order to charge somebody with it. If it's burglary, you have to unlawfully enter and commit a crime therein. Otherwise, it's not a burglary. It's either a trespass or a theft. The charges that Donald Trump was found guilty of 34 times, he doesn't meet one element of any of the crimes. But it doesn't matter because you have Judge Engeron, his daughter, making $10 million off of the case, raising $100 million off the case. You have Matthew Colangelo dispatched from the DOJ to revive the case with Alvin Bragg, and Alvin Bragg never even showed up at the trial, for all intents and purposes. This all has to end. This is what is going on in D.C. with the D.C. federal court system, the D.C. U.S. Attorney's Office, Washington field office. All of these people are all a giant symbiote circle bleep. That's what they are. They all are friends. They've all gone to the same schools. They're married to one another. They're all friends with one another. And if you step out of line, you don't get a job. But if you stay in line, you get a multi-million dollar job community over the years. But if you don't, you know, if you think about it, you're a judge and you're only going to stay a judge if you find certain defendants guilty. Because if you don't, you have violated the society of D.C. So you won't have a job anymore. You've violated their cultural norms. You can't find a J6 defendant innocent. Matter of fact, you can't not only find them innocent, you have to up their charges. You got to have Harry Dunn come in there. You've got to have, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Whatever it is. Guy, whatever. His initials are AG. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. You got to have Dunn come in. You got to have Michael Fanon come in there and lie that they were abused. Aquiano Gunnell. Gunnell, there we go. Gunnell. Yeah. Come in there and lie and perjure themselves. These D.C. Metro officers and Capitol Police. Come in and lie and say that they were injured. You got to have all that. If you don't do all of that, you're no longer in accepted society. In the D.C. metro system. These are and all of us can be drawn into D.C. They can charge you with anything they want, and they issue a warrant out of Washington, D.C., and charge you like Trump always says. They're trying to get to you through me. They're trying to open up the doors for mass prosecutions and internment camps for all of us. Now, they just lost, but this needs to be symbolically burned to the ground and have salt poured on top of it. There's no reason to have a field office, an FBI field office in D.C. There's no reason to have a U.S. attorney inside of D.C. Nobody really lives in D.C. proper. Why in the world do you have an FBI office there? They all live in Virginia and Maryland and Delaware and train and bus in. There's no reason to have a U.S. attorney's office there. It's just used as a magnet to draw all these other federal cases to so that you don't get a fair trial. All that makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah, yep.
And then the last one, just had to bring up this Tim Kelly who was appointed by Trump. This whole thing, Trump has got to change this. Don't make appointments because you think that you're reaching out to your adversaries and your adversaries are going to be kind-hearted to you. Satan's never going to love you. He'll swear that he's going to love you. He'll even pseudo-bless you. But in the end, he is a murderer from the beginning, the father of lies who will murder you and lie to you, either figuratively or literally. So when Donald Trump nominates Tim Kelly, whose wife works for the mayor of Washington, D.C., why is there a mayor of a city that doesn't exist? It's a district. Why is there a mayor? Why? Muriel Bowser, who is the author of the insurrection, along with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell, all to frame you and I, frame our party. You know, like, I was never at 1-6. Yeah, but the reason why they had to have a 1-6 is so they could frame us all as insurrectionists. You know, like, they could never do that because I was never there. Either was Enrique Terrio. He was never there. He's got 22 years in prison. He's serving right now. He was never there. Never anywhere near Washington, D.C. And he's serving 22 years in prison. Because of Tim Kelly, whose wife worked for Muriel Bowser, who actually caused the insurrection that Enrico Terrio is being charged with. And this Tim Kelly made sure that he kept out, i.e., like I just told you about Rudy Giuliani, and they did the same thing with Bannon. They did the same thing with Alex Jones. They did the same thing with Peter Navarro. They did the same thing with Donald Trump. They don't allow in exculpatory evidence. The judge just simply says no. You're like, that would not be allowed, Tom. Again, I want you to think logically. Who would stop a judge? The only thing that can stop a judge is an appellate judge. And if the appellate judge is also blue, you think he's going to override or overturn a lower court blue judge? It's not going to happen. So D.C.'s justice system needs to go by the way of the dodo. I could say so much more, and I want to say so much more, but I can't. It's 9:54, and I set my time just so everybody knows. At 10:15. So I've only got 21 more minutes and I'm done. Allegedly. I said I was going to be done last night at 10:10, and I got done at 10:46. So it didn't pan out last night. It's Aaron's fault. I blame everything on Aaron.
Yes.
Tonight, I'll blame everything on Heather and Creighton. They're here, too, so I'll blame them, too. All right, so here we go. So let's go to the next one. Change the subject. Sequencer video. Indonesian president. I just want you to see this, because here's Trump. The Indonesian president calls Trump, and then we're going to compare it to how the Biden administration handles dignitaries. Play it for me.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I would like to congratulate you on your election as president of the United States of America. I would like...
Thank you so much.
If possible, I would like to call personally on you. Wherever you are, I'm willing to fly to congratulate you personally, sir.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice. Well, we'll do that anytime you want, but great job you're doing in Indonesia. Great job. Proud of you.
Sir,
amazing. And your English is so good.
Yes, sir. I've been...
Very good, the English.
All my training is American, sir.
Ah, that's great. we had a great election in the U.S. We had a great election. It's amazing what happened. We had tremendous success. The most successful in over 100 years, they say, and it's a great honor. So it gives me a very big mandate to do things properly.
And of course, we were all shocked when they tried to assassinate you, but we are very happy that the Almighty protected you, sir.
So that's how you handle foreign dignitaries. Let's compare that with, remember, the Biden administration is supposed to be the adults in the room, right? The adults room. Let's look at how they handle foreign dignitaries. Breaking 9/11 video. Watch Israel Prime Minister Isaac Herzog interrupted by cheers. This is today. As Kamala simultaneously arrives. You can't coordinate that where Kamala doesn't simultaneously arrive at the same time that the Israeli president is doing a press conference. Play it for me.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I had a very productive meeting with President Biden. President Biden and I held for... Oh, I see there's a whole rally here. So I can't compete with it, I guess. President Biden...
And it's like I've said from day one. These are the adults in the room. These are the people who are going to bring maturity back into the White House. And you can't even coordinate an event to where the Israeli president isn't having a press conference at the same time that Kamala's having a rah-rah rally after she just got her butt whacked in the election. You can't coordinate. Look at her. You see her way back there in the corner of there? That right there. Great job, Aaron. See her back there? You can't coordinate these two? And you notice, there you go. Aaron's got the cursor right there. There's Kamala. Give me some Trump. There's Kamala.
Kamala Harris. She is.
And you can't coordinate that? I thought you were the mature ones. I thought you were the professionals. No, they're way out of their element. These are people, I've upped it now. These are people who can't run. They couldn't run a fully automated car wash. They couldn't. I used to have a friend of mine who owned a car wash. He owned a car wash. All he'd do is go in, sit in his office, and just see if there was ever a problem. There never was. You go because you just put your quarters in. It's fully automated car wash. You go in and push the buttons, and it all washed your car for you. There's nothing to do. They couldn't run a fully automated AI car wash. I used to say they couldn't run an Applebee's. That's way above Joe Biden. Shouldn't even make it close. I mean, They couldn't run their own Amway business where you work for yourself. They couldn't run anything. You can't coordinate this with the Israeli president? Well, you don't have a Kamala rah-rah session? Look at that idiot back there in the back. Look at her. Oh, what are you cheering that you just got your butt kicked? Man, I miss cussing right now. Let's go to the next one. Human events video. I have to show you this because this is Douglas Mackey who got arrested and charged with an illegal meme. Because he said, remember his horrible meme was, if you want to elect Hillary, text Hillary at this number Nobody ever texted it, and nobody was ever thrown off course voting. Nobody actually tried to vote via the text, but he was tried and found guilty of a felony for putting out a meme, which countless Democrats have done, and that's ignored by the DOJ and ignored by state departments of justices, state AGs, that's ignored. But Douglas Mackey gets found guilty of it. Well, Donald Trump is talking about pardoning him, but Mackey's saying hold off on the pardon because I may end up getting cleared of it anyway. So I want you to hear from Douglas Mackey because this is one of those cases that bothers me the most. So you put out a meme. I mean, again, these are the defenders of democracy that want to ban speech. These are the defenders of democracy that want fascism, where the government merges with corporatism. They want that. I.e. Moderna and the NIH, i.e. the FBI, meeting with Facebook, meeting with Google, meeting with YouTube on a weekly basis to take down conservative media posts. These are the defenders of democracy. Remember Tim Walz. The First Amendment doesn't cover misinformation, especially having to do with defending our democracy. The very essence of our democracy is somebody allowed to put out misinformation. If it's defamatory, they'll get sued for it. But if you want to lie, you can lie. That's your First Amendment right to lie. If it's defamatory, then you'll be sued for it. Oh, there it is. Thank you, man. That's Boss Hogg, Aaron. That's really good. That's what he put out. He's found guilty of a felony. Maybe more than one felony. I don't remember. That's what he put out. Avoid the line. Vote from home. Text Hillary to vote for Hillary and be a part of history. I love it. It's hysterical. Nobody texted it. Nobody tried to vote via this number. You know why nobody tried to vote via that number, Aaron? Do you know why? Because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's a joke. You know, anybody who actually types in 59925 will get nothing. And he was found guilty. Now, the same thing has happened. Democrats have done this numerous times, including Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-hmm. Did it right on his show. Told people to vote on the wrong day. I don't see the DOJ going after it. And you know what we need to do is make sure the DOJ goes after Jimmy Kimmel for this. Oh, yeah, Aaron, you're Boston. I mean, you're so good. Really, so good. Like, really. There's nobody better. There's shows that are bigger, but there's nobody better than Aaron.
Thank you.
Christina Wong, look at this. Hey, Trump supporters, skip poll lines at election 2016 and text in your vote. She was never tried. She was never investigated. She was never arrested. She was never prosecuted. Nothing ever happened to her because she was advocating for fraud for the right side, according to the DOJ. All right, so going back, human events video. Here's Douglas Mackey. Play for me.
Well, absolutely. Real changes have to be made. There's no question about it. If you look at my case, the election specialist of the DOJ, there's only 10 around the country. Rather than go around and bust up the voter fraud rings that we know are occurring in places like New York City, they spent 2 years and who knows how many millions of dollars prosecuting me for this meme. But Jack, I can break a little bit of news or at least give you an update on my case. We are awaiting a court decision imminently on whether my conviction will be vacated. So we're just going to politely ask President Trump to hold off on the pardon, because if we get a favorable legal ruling here, that will have consequences for future American citizens who might find themselves in the crosshairs of the DOJ. So we're just going to hold off on the pardon and hopefully get the decision that we want at the second.
So hopefully he gets exonerated of all this stuff. If he doesn't, Trump's going to pardon him anyway. Trump's going to come in and pardon all the people that have been arrested for standing out in front of an abortion clinic, simply handing out a brochure or singing How Great Thou Art, or spending time in federal prison. And one of the things that, you know, I forgot about earlier, talking about the earlier case, you have a J6 defendant, 60-year-old woman has already spent months and months and months in prison, who just lost her husband, who just died of cancer, and they're retrying her again after the Enron decision exonerated her from those ridiculous obstruction charges. I don't have time to get in all that. And they're trying to, of course, charge her again. Like, as if they don't have anything better to do at all. I mean, it's just a sad state of affairs. She's going to end up having to be pardoned by Donald Trump. Why in the world are we having to pardon anybody? And she's in federal prison again for a misdemeanor. I mean, it's truly, nobody goes to prison. Nobody goes to federal prisons for misdemeanors, except us. Everybody else is high-level felonious crimes. But anyway, I digress. So let me show you this one. Greg Price video. Most of you have already seen this, but I want to make sure nobody misses it. The FEMA official who was just fired for telling workers to avoid homes impacted by hurricanes in Florida. Why did she tell her workers to avoid homes? Why, in Florida, here in Florida, right where we are right now. We are sitting in an area highly impacted by both Milton and Helene. And the FEMA official was told her people working for her to avoid homes that have Trump signs, saying that it was not isolated and that FEMA workers were instructed to do it in the Carolinas too. Play it for me.
Stating that I was fired. They all alleged that these actions were made on my own recognizance and that it was for my own political advances. However, if you look at the record, there is what we call a community trend. And unfortunately, it just so happened that the political hostility that was encountered by my team, and I was on two different teams during this deployment, they just so happened to have the Trump campaign signage. FEMA always preaches avoidance first and then de-escalation. So this is not isolated. This is a colossal event of avoidance, not just in the state of Florida, but you will find avoidance in the Carolinas. Senior leadership will lie to you and tell you that they do not know. But if you ask the DSA crew leads and specialists what they are experiencing in the field, they will tell you. Demand for FEMA to give you those incident reports.
So she is both sort of whistleblowing on FEMA and pseudo defending FEMA, saying that they were getting hostile treatment from Trump people. There's no evidence of that. Of course, there's no evidence of FEMA doing anything. If you look at the picture of that woman, again, what is she ever going to do on the ground in Appalachia? What's that woman going to do in her pantsuit? She's 60, 70, 80 pounds overweight. What's she going to do there? How is she going to help people? I'm just curious. What's she going to do? She's part of FEMA. Federal Emergency Management Agency. What exactly is she going to do? Look at her. Fired FEMA disaster survival. She's a disaster survival assistance crew leader. So she's disaster survivor assistance crew leader. How is she going to help? How is she going to assist any survivor? What is she going to do? I'll tell you what she's going to do. She's going to roll up in a FEMA sedan with no assets, with no water, and a bunch of pamphlets to hand out. And allegedly, they were receiving some hostility from people on the ground in Florida and North Carolina. Of course, there's no actual video footage of any of this hostility, just like there's no footage of anything they accuse us of. The number one threat to America, according to Christopher Wray and Joe Biden, is white supremacist terrorism. Where? Show me one video. We have a trans genocide going on right now where white supremacist terrorists are killing trans people. Where? Show me one video of any white man assaulting, even verbally assaulting a trans person. Show it to me. Now, I can show you, Aaron, if I put Aaron on the task right now. In about 5 minutes, he would have 20 or 30 videos of trans people verbally assaulting and physically assaulting us.
Oh, yeah.
And the only people that are killing trans people are other trans people. There you go. So anyway, so she says FEMA, so Federal Emergency Management Agency, their policy is to avoid first and de-escalate second, typical government. They're there to rescue people and help people, and what they do is avoid them and de-escalate. That's the government. And by the way, there's no footage yet coming from North Carolina or Florida of FEMA helping anybody at all. Nothing. Not one. I'm sadly, again, because I have no life, every day I'm on this, hours, every day, looking for things to put on this podcast. And I would put exculpatory material for FEMA. Oh, look at FEMA finally came through in Appalachia, North Carolina, and Tennessee and Georgia. They finally came through. Has anybody seen one thing that FEMA's done? We have all the volunteer agencies. We have the military volunteers. We have the Glenn Beck on the ground there. Congressman Mills on the ground there. We got all that going on there, but we have no FEMA at all. But she says there that, you know, FEMA will come out, but this directive did not come from her, is what she's saying. It came from the higher ups. Avoid people who have a Trump sign. That came from and she says they'll all deny it. We all know it's true because it's the actual embodiment of what we've seen over the last almost 4 years under the Biden administration. Different rules for us than for the left. Imagine if Helene had hit downtown Manhattan. There would be 50,000 National Guardsmen there in 24 hours handing out supplies. Nobody would go a day thirsty. But since it happened in a Trump area, which was great, Georgia went for Trump, North Carolina went for Trump, and Tennessee went for Trump, so you can just shove it. But if it's a Trump area, you know, we're going to hold back assistance. FEMA is not on video doing one thing in any of those areas. And that's the same thing that we've seen throughout the last 4 years, is that we'll be tried for crimes, but Democrats won't be tried for crimes. We won't receive emergency assistance, but illegal aliens will receive emergency assistance. There was diverted funds in the DHS. DHS is run. DHS runs FEMA. DHS is run by Alejandro Mayorkas, who also runs the border. And there's a $20 million illegal migrant welcome center in San Diego. I think that $20 million would have gone a long way in Appalachia. Would everybody agree? Let's go to this one. Older millennial video. I've only got 5 minutes to go. Older millennial video. Can any of you election experts explain to me, this is older millennial talking, how Eric Hovday in Wisconsin running for Senate had 1,648,000 votes on election night and now has ended up with 5,000 less today? Play for me.
All right, look, I'm going to request some help from all the election experts out there. Specifically, let's take a look at the Wisconsin U.S. Senate general election. This was as of 10:13 p.m. on November 5th on election night, and 89% had reported in. Now, at this time, Eric Hovde had 1,648,000 votes. Tammy Baldwin had 1,216,000. Now, here we are today with 99% reporting, right? So we got the remaining 10%. And now Tammy Baldwin has 1,672,000 votes, and Eric Hovde has 1,643,000. Do y'all see the issue with the math there? Like, I don't really have a problem with Tammy Baldwin gaining 400,000 votes. Like, sure, that's totally possible. But you know what's not possible? What's not possible is Eric Hovde having 1,648,000 votes with 89% reporting, and then somehow having 5,000 less votes when we're finished. Because he went from 1,648,000 on election day to 1,643,000 today. So since election night, his opponent gained 400,000 votes, and he lost 5,000. That would mean that not only has every single vote they counted since November 5th been for Tammy Baldwin, but that would also mean that somehow the votes that were for Eric Hovde were changed to Tammy Baldwin. That's the only way you would lose votes. So yeah, I'd love one of you election experts to go ahead and explain that to me.
Yeah, just hear Democrats, please send us the virtue behind all of this happening. Tell us exactly how this works out. And by the way, of course, the older millennial qualifies now as a threat to democracy because he's questioning an election. Even though right now I can go over to Twitter again, if I had Aaron put Twitter on live side by side, we could simply scroll down my For You file. Very easy, my For You page. And every Democrat is questioning this election, which qualifies them as an insurrectionist threat to democracy. But they're not going to be arrested. If they put out provisional electors, which you're allowed to do, they're not going to be arrested for putting out fake electors. But there's a big difference. There is no such thing as a fake elector. You can put out provisional electors from the Hawaii case. It's case law. It's already Supreme Court precedent. But yet we have people being tried for it. Of course, that will all go by the wayside now because Trump's elected. But it shouldn't have to take Trump being elected for these things never to happen and for these things to go by the wayside. So back to this. So the older millennial now, simply questioning election, is now an insurrectionist threat to democracy. But, of course, if it was the other way around, you'd have some liberal pundit doing the exact same thing, and he would not be a threat to democracy or an insurrectionist. But let's break this down. How in the world did Hovde, which I had winning the election on election night, at least in my mind, I thought it was over. How did he end up losing this race by 31,000 votes? How did that happen? And one other thing, how in the world are only 99% of the votes still counted on day 7? I'm just curious. In the state of Wisconsin, listen, those who run the elections there, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I know that you're committing malfeasance, so you won't be. But that the fact that you've been exposed should still cause you embarrassment, even though you're doing it, you know, for my opinion, criminal reasons, but simply because it's been exposed, you should be embarrassed. But anyway, let's look at this. Now, how did Baldwin end up winning Again, election, Hovde, 1,648,000 votes on election night, and now he's lost 5,000 votes and lost the election by 31,000 votes. Well, let's look. How did this happen? Go back to two posts that I've already put up. I have to show you this. Another 3 a.m., weird, because Aaron and I left here at 3:47.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So we left here at 3 o'clock in the morning, and Hovde had won from what we saw.
Yeah.
But weird, there was another 3 a.m. ballot drop. See that little blip there where it goes straight up, all Democrat, where it came in. Basically, what was happening was they'll say it's from Milwaukee and say that would be heavy for Baldwin, the Democrat. Well, okay. In all the other heavy for Baldwin districts, she was winning somewhere between 60-65% of the vote versus him with 35%. Well, strangely, that little 90% vertical, whatever you want to call it, vertical line, that vertical jet line going straight up there, strangely, all those ballots that came in at 3 a.m. were 90% Baldwin, 10% Hovde. When the best she'd done all night long was 70% for herself. But suddenly, this ballot jump, which causes this vertical limit, at 3 o'clock in the morning, those ballots broke 90% for her. Not one time did that happen all day long, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, this just sounds eerily familiar to 2020. We're all rejoicing in Trump. This is how they do it, folks. Now, yes, we still have the majority in the Senate and a good majority in the Senate, but not as big a one as we could have had. We could have had 56 instead of 54 or 53, right? It's the same thing they did with Kerry Lake. Same exact thing. How does Gallego end up with more votes than Kamala Harris? The only person he has less votes than is Donald J. Trump. He beat Harris and Lake. How is that possible? By calculus, it's impossible, but somehow he did it. Pulled off the impossible. He's the only one since John McCain to do it. And they're all McCainsian rules, by the way, in there. But anyway, so lo and behold, this ballot dump at 3 a.m. in the morning breaks 90% for Tammy Baldwin. What a miracle. Another thing. Go to the next one for me, Creighton. Look at this. Wisconsin. Anybody want to explain this? We have gone down this list a couple times. We'll just use Wisconsin this time. Wisconsin, strangely, has 3 million. Now, people will say, because now there's same-day registrations. But guess what a same-day registration means? They're registered to vote. So, strangely, even with their same-day registrations, Wisconsin has 3,129,000 people registered to vote, including same day registrations. But strangely, 3,240,000 people actually voted. That's kind of weird, isn't it? No numbers wrong underneath there, because that's actually 111,000 more than a registered to vote. I wonder how she won by 31,000 votes. I wonder how that happened. When 111,000 more people voted than are registered to vote. How did that happen? Now we know. Same thing in Virginia. If you're wondering how it is that we're winning so early in Virginia, because they go to their phantom voter bank and pull out and make a withdrawal from votes that are manufactured through DMV databases of illegals, of just like if we go through the names here tonight, the different names, I can combo all of our names together and make up individual addresses, P.O. boxes, or just addresses, duplicate addresses. I showed you earlier, out of Michigan, we had the same guy with the same voter ID vote 29 times, all for Joe Biden, all for Kamala Harris, 29 times. I don't know who he voted for. I'm just saying, I'm sure that's what it was, because we don't do it. They do. Same thing with Vermont. 343,000 registered voters, but somehow 355,000 people voted. North Carolina, 5,160,000 registered voters, but 5,387,000 people actually voted. Phantom voter accounts, they can pull from anytime they want. They just manufacture these people are registered to vote. That's why you're always seeing these Democrats resisting the cleansing of their voter rolls. So if you're wondering how we didn't win that one, they cheated. You're like, well, we won overall. If we don't address these cheating, well, this cheating and these voter rolls and everything else, listen, we have to win the midterms. We have to continue to win. Donald Trump can't turn this all around in 2 years. We need to win again. If this isn't cleansed for the next election, we're going to lose. I'm already 4 minutes into overtime. Go to the next one for me, Creighton. I have to show you this. In counter news, the Harris campaign said it would fix the economy and is now $20 million in debt. That's to show you. There's just more specifics for everybody from last night. Here's where she could have saved money. $1.8 million she paid to Eminem. Aren't these people dedicated to Kamala Harris winning? Eminem, Lizzo, Megan Thee Stallion, Beyonce, aren't they committed to her winning?
Saving democracy.
I mean, yeah, they're saved. They're the threat of Donald Trump. They're, yeah. You know, wouldn't you do anything? Wouldn't you show up for free? I mean, there's not a person on this list. I mean, Beyonce, I think, is probably close to a billionaire when she's with her husband, whatever. Yeah. They have to be a billionaire, and she gets $10 million. Did Beyonce ever actually sing?
No.
Yeah, there you go. She got $10 million to walk out on the stage for all of 3 minutes.
And hug her.
And hug her. And that's, and Oprah got a million. $5 million to Megan Thee Stallion. $2.3 million to Lizzo. I mean, geez, you're going to pay $2 million to watch that flail around the stage. Eminem, $1.8 million. These are all people who are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and they don't even have enough passion for their candidate to do it for free, enough passion for their cause to do it for free. Truly amazing. Go to the next one, Maury Creighton. Nick Shorter tweet, just so everybody knows what's coming up. Breaking, conservatives in the U.S. House are plotting to challenge Mike Johnson for the speakership tomorrow. Let's go. That's what needs to happen. Mike Johnson is no different than John Thune and John Cornyn. No different at all. You're like, but there's great videos of him doing conservative things. No, there's great videos of him saying conservative things. There's no videos of him doing conservative things. That's the fact, because he's a fraud. I don't care. He says he's an evangelical Christian. He voted for Joe Biden's. He passed in the dark recesses and the smoke-filled back rooms of the Capitol with Chuck E. Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, Joe Biden's minibus bill for $1.8 trillion that funded $600 million to Planned Parenthood, that funded transgender surgeries for minors. That's him. Why couldn't he say no? Because if he says no, he'll tick off his lobbyists. If he says no, he'll tick off the people who have him honeypotted. I don't know what his problem is. If he says no, he won't be a part of acceptable society inside of the D.C. swamp circuit. I don't know. But he refuses to stand up for his alleged values because they're not actually his alleged values. All right, I got to show you this stuff. I'm way over, but I got to show you. I'm fulfilling my wife's prophecy because I told her I'm done at 10:15. She said 10:30. Aaron said 10:35, I think. I'm not, listen, only a couple more minutes, but I have to show you this stuff because it's fun. This is just fun. If you're not going to have fun on these podcasts, there's no point doing it. This is fun. You have to enjoy, you have to actually enjoy winning. You really do. You have to enjoy winning. Now, we've all read today that MSNBC and CNN's ratings are through the floor. Tanking hard. Talking about 30, 40, 50% drops in ratings since Trump was elected. Now, why would that ever be? Why would that happen? Here's an inkling of why that would happen. Western Lensman video. Here's Joy Reid. Play for me.
And it's this idea of I want to be with the side that's waving the biggest flag. I want to fit in. And there is a huge element, to be honest, of anti-blackness in a lot of this. Anti-black Americanness specifically. And Paola and I have talked about this, that there is a part of that anti-blackness is a piece of it. Even though Enrique Tarrio, who's the head of the Proud Boys, is a black Latino. Mm-hmm. But he's down with white supremacists, down with them. And there's this idea that I'm black, but I'm not black. I may look black to you. I may be black if I'm walking through Bloomingdale's and get followed around. But in my mind, I'm identifying with whiteness because whiteness means privilege and it means not being a black American. This has to be unpacked because this shift among Latino men is significant. And it says something about where we're going in this country, about whether we can create an appeal. There's also...
So I just had to show you that this is why their ratings are way down. She sits there and calls Latinos, blacks and whites, we're all racist. And she says that's why Trump got elected racist. He didn't get elected because we're racist. He got elected because we're tired of being called racist when we're not. All right, let's go to the next one for me. From Outkick.com. Viewership for MSNBC and CNN has tanked since Donald Trump steamrolled Kamala Harris in the 2024 presidential election. An election result the two networks ensured viewers would result in the end of democracy. Mediate obtained viewership data from Thursday to highlight the concerns both channels face for the entire freaking day. MSNBC averaged 596,000 viewers. That's even their prime time, while CNN recorded just 419,000. Bongino alone, during his one-hour podcast, they had over 200,000 people watching in his one-hour podcast. That's a decline of 23% in a week for MSNBC because everybody's tired of being lied to. Even leftists don't want to be lied to. They're all sure that Kamala Harris is going to win. She's the greatest thing in the world. And they kept saying that she's running the perfect campaign. Joy Reid always like to say she's running the perfect campaign. Now, for MSNBC, 40% for CNN year over year. But the primetime numbers are even more concerning. While CNN saw a 30% decline in primetime, MSNBC declined an unprecedented 54%. Go to the next one for me, Creighton. Just then, here's more numbers for you. MSNBC's parent company Comcast is now in the process of selling the alleged cable news network. Ratings since Trump took office have been in a downward spiral at MSNBC. If I didn't give dual credit, Kyle Becker tweet. Never Trumpers hardest hit. Morning Joe, down 39.6%. Morning Joe, second hour, 36.9%. Andrea Mitchell, down almost 40%. Ari Melber, down 50%. Joy Reid, 54% down. All In with Chris Hayes, 47% down. Alex Wagner Tonight, 53% down. Oh, I love this one because he's the worst. Lawrence O'Donnell, 60% down. Stephanie Ruhle, 67% down. People are getting tired of Goebbels. They're getting tired of being lied to. Wouldn't you think, like, Germans, back in the day when the Russians had already taken over Berlin and Goebbels is still on the radio saying, we're going to win, mount up a defense. Right before they had rapes to the level of women having to be mass hospitalized, but they were told the entire time they were winning. I think people are getting tired of being lied to. Go to the next one for you, Creighton. Here's another pick for you. Comcast to put MSNBC and Oprah funded Oxygen Networks up for sale. There you go. Eat it. Go to the next one for me. Daily Mail will axe top stars and layoffs that'll see hundreds fired as ratings continue to tank. Anderson Cooper, $20 million a year. That's Caitlin Collins, right? The middle one there, is that right?
Yep.
$3 million a year for these people. Unbelievable. All right, 1026. There we go. And I got 35 seconds left to not get to 1027. Rumble Rants tonight. Nude Monk. Welcome back, Nude Monk. $50 I saw in the chat. You've been gone for a little while. Q13013, $50. Thank you for these big gifts tonight, guys. Appreciate it. Swifty Shooter, $96, $20. Or in the Court, $20. Nitsua, $99, $20. Deanna Jones, $10. The matriarch of the Rumble Rant, Tammy L. Margritter, $10. Appreciate you guys so much. Love you. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
What if it's a new thing if I tell you that you are supposed to prosper, that you are supposed to be wealthy? That's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Word just told you that new thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Is that a new thing for you? That you need to receive it. Well, I believe that poverty is an attribute. No, Jesus became poor. And then they quote Jesus saying, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. He became poor for you, not for you to emulate the poorness. That would be like you emulating sin. He became sin, so now you sin. He became poor, so now you're poor.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.